Well, we're continuing this morning in our series of sermons about the angels' announcements. And this morning we come to one of the most well-known and probably most often read portions of the Christmas story, of the birth narrative, from Luke chapter 2. And it is a wonderful account indeed. So if you'd like to turn with me, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. It's the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, our God, we thank you for this glorious announcement of these angels to the shepherds 2,000 years ago. And we thank you that these words have been spoken not just to them, but to us. And I pray, O Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, you would open up the eyes of our hearts to see the glory that these angels spoke about in Jesus, and that that would provoke us and move us to witness and to great worship, that you might be glorified by us and in us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had a birth this morning in our congregation, the Fomans, as was mentioned earlier, had a new addition to their family. A baby was born. And what did we do? That birth was announced. It was announced in Sunday school. It was announced from the pulpit. When a baby is born, that's what you do. You want to tell people about it. Well, in this passage that we read about a birth. But this is the most significant and important birth in all of history, in the history of creation. This is the birth that changes the universe. It changes everything. It changes everything about your life and your future. And so the announcement comes, but the announcement comes to a group of shepherds. And we're going to look at this announcement. It's a remarkable thing. But we're going to look first at the announcement that's made, and then we're going to see the response of the angels, which tells us something about what this announcement means. And then finally, this morning, we're going to look at the response of the shepherds. It's kind of the outline of this passage. We find the announcement recorded in verses 8 through 12. And then in 13 and 14, we hear the response of these heavenly beings, which tell us something of the meaning, the significance of this gospel announcement. And then in 15 through 20, we see the response of the shepherds. And this is going to show us the response that this message calls for today. So let's begin with the announcement. Now, the circumstances of this announcement are remarkable. There's a couple of remarkable things about this. First, we're told that there are these shepherds, and they're in the same region of Bethlehem where Jesus has been born. And the evening, we don't know what time of the day he was born, but the angel tells us that that day was the day of Christ's birth. So Christ was hours in the world as an infant. And that night, there are shepherds in fields, probably a few miles from the city, keeping watch. And we're told that they were watching their shepherds, their sheep, at night. And it's nighttime. And then we're told that an angel of the Lord appears to them in the middle of the night. And the glory of the Lord, Luke tells us here, shone around them. These are very important, interesting, but important details. We've looked at angel announcements this month, but this is the first time that we're told the glory of the Lord shines around them. Now, what's going on here? Well, the shepherds here are representative of the world. The world is in the darkness of sin. And God's people, these shepherds are Israelites. God's people have been in the darkness of the silence of God. God had spoken 400 years before through his prophet Malachi, calling the people to repent. And for 400 years, the people of Israel have not heard from the Lord. But the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before, had spoken about the coming of the Savior. Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah says, the Lord says through Isaiah, that a Redeemer will come to Zion. And he says these words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." So here are the shepherds at night, working a midnight shift. They're probably drowsy. Maybe some of them are sleeping, and maybe they're taking turns. And all of a sudden, this brilliant light just shines in their presence, and they see this heavenly being. And shining around him is the glory of the Lord. What is this glory? The glory is this visible light. It's a visible manifestation of the splendor, the majesty, and the holiness of God himself. This is the glory that the disciples saw, that John, Peter, and James saw when they were with Jesus on the mountain. And they saw Jesus transfigured, and he shone this brilliant white, and they fell down on their faces. It was the glory that descended on the temple when the presence of God came to inhabit the temple in the middle of Jerusalem that caused the priest to tremble. And it was the glory that Isaiah saw when he saw the cherubim surrounding the throne of God. And that glory comes to these shepherds who are on these hills just outside Bethlehem. And immediately, they're filled with great fear. And it's interesting, we're told that Zechariah was filled with fear. And we're told that Mary was troubled when Gabriel appeared to her. But here, the Greek says that the angels were filled with a great fear. So they feared with great fear because they see this glory. And they know that when sinners look on God, sinners will die by seeing God. But the angel says to them, "Fear not. Fear not. Because I bring you not tidings of judgment. I have not come to bring judgment, but to bring joy, to announce good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And so this is the announcement. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So the angel says, "I've got good news. Gospel. I've got a gospel to preach to you. And that gospel is this. Unto you, this very day, has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that is going to bring you great, immense joy. A Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, some of the most famous words that we hear during the Christmas season come from Isaiah 9. You see it on Christmas cards and posters, right? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That was the promise of God through the prophet Isaiah. And the angel comes and tells these shepherds, "Unto you is born this day that Savior." He is Savior, he is Christ, and he is Lord. He's a Savior because he is the one who's going to save you from everything that you need saving from. He's going to save you from all those who would harm you. He's going to save you from all those who would oppress you. He's going to save you from sin. He's going to save you from death. He's a Savior. And he's Christ. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the word Christ. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah or anointed one. This is the promised son of David. And the shepherds are reminded here, right? "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." We read this morning in Micah, "Out of you, O Bethlehem, will come the ruler, one who's to shepherd the people Israel." The Messiah, the promised son of David, the one who's going to be king and reign forever, is going to be born in Bethlehem. And this, the angel says, this Christ has been born this day. God has fulfilled his promise. And the Savior, who is Christ, is in fact the Lord himself. This Savior is God with us because the baby, who's now probably crying in the arms of his mother, is in fact the Lord whose glory you've just seen, is the Lord who spoke through the prophet to promise his coming. This baby is God with us, Emmanuel. And that is the good news. That's the proclamation. This thing is no longer a future hope, but this is now fulfilled in your midst. So that's the announcement. Now, it's given, as we said a few minutes ago, to the shepherds. And this also is a remarkable thing. God comes to announce the birth of the eternal Son of David, who's going to reign forever, whose kingdom will have no end. And that announcement comes to shepherds. Why shepherds? Well, shepherds in that day were not particularly respected people. Shepherds, because of their business, were ceremonially unclean. And they were, as a whole, not a particularly well-liked lot, not even trusted. In fact, their testimony was not valid in Jewish courts. Because they were seen as kind of these low-life people. They're just messy blue-collar workers. And these are the people that God comes to. Why? Because he wants them, and he wants you to know that this good news is for everybody. This good news, this gospel, is for janitors. It's for lawyers, politicians, and wealthy people. It's for poor people too. It's for minimum wage earners. It's for single mothers. It's for aged senior citizens. It's for 5-year-old boys, 8-year-old girls. It's for everybody. So this is the announcement. But what is the response? Well, the response first comes from these heavenly beings. We see in verses 13 through 14. And this response tells us what this good news means, what the implications are. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." We hear that phrase, heavenly hosts, very often, and sometimes we can forget what that means, or maybe we have images of cute cherubs kind of flying around in the sky. The heavenly host, the host was an army. This was an army of angelic beings that suddenly appear around the shepherds. And often we think of them as being kind of distant up in the sky, but we're told that the angels went away from them into heaven. They probably appeared there on the hills with them, and they're suddenly surrounded. They thought they were alone with their sheep, and now this angel, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by this multitude of these mighty heavenly warriors, these mighty beings. And they are singing to God. As a musician, growing up, you have those scenes in the Bible, those moments that you wish you had been there for. And this was always one of those biblical scenes I wish I could have, been there for. And these angels are worshiping God because of what has just happened. You know, often we kind of think of angelic beings as these kind of almost maybe robotic beings who are just sort of programmed to do something. And so these angels come and they show up and they start saying these things. They start singing this chorus because they've just been programmed to do that at this particular moment. But angelic beings are beings with wills and minds, and they're not omniscient. The Apostle Peter tells us in his first letter that the heavenly beings long to look into the things concerning the great salvation that is now being preached to the people through the gospel. These heavenly beings at some point came to learn how God was going to save his people. And we don't know, maybe it was just shortly before this moment, maybe it was some years before, but they're gathered now around to see. They want to see this salvation that God is working. And as the messenger announces that Christ, Jesus the Savior Lord, is now a baby, he's been born, he is a human being, has taken on flesh, they say, "This is amazing. This is incredible. Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom of God, that he would come and humble himself to redeem this world from the curse of sin and death." And so they say, "Glory to God in the highest." But as they praise, they also proclaim the meaning of this great event. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Unto you this day is born in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." What does that mean for you? And the angels here say it means peace. Peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased. And that's the center of the message here this morning. The birth and the coming of Jesus means peace. And it means peace in three ways. First, it means peace between man and God. It's a vertical peace. See, we're all born at enmity with God. What does Paul say in Ephesians? We are by nature children of wrath because we're born with hearts in rebellion against God. Right? We are born wanting to be God of our own lives. And this puts us at enmity with God and under his wrath, under the wrath of a holy God. And our rebellion, our sins make us dirty in his sight and bring us, again, under that condemnation and that judgment. But this morning, and this evening, as the angels appear, they announce not judgment, but peace. They say the one who is lying there in a manger was born to reconcile sinners to God. And this is the gospel throughout the pages. We were speaking this morning in Sunday school about reconciliation with God. Paul says in Colossians, for in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. That is the gospel, that you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God this morning? Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've been coming to church for some years, but you say, you know, God is still this distant being. When I'm honest with myself, I know that I'm still separated from him. But God says Jesus came into the world to reconcile you to God. He reconciles you through the blood of his cross. Trust him. Go to him. Call on him that you might have peace with God. So the peace that's proclaimed here is vertical peace, peace between man and God. But that vertical peace then flows out to internal peace and horizontal peace. Peace in your own heart and peace with others. And these two aspects of the peace, though, flow from our peace with God. Peace among men, peace between neighbors is only possible through peace with God. Peace, internal peace in your heart is only possible through peace with God. But when you are reconciled to God, you are given internal peace. Now, we all know what it's like to not be at peace within ourselves. Right? That's part of living in sin. It's part of living in this cursed world. We experience anxieties. We're anxious about our present circumstances. We're anxious about the future. Or we have fears. Or we are dissatisfied. And we're grasping for things to make us feel whole or to feel satisfied, and yet we can't secure that. But Christ came to bring peace to you. And when you're reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, you come into fellowship with God and you're given his Spirit. And that brings peace. Because you have the most important thing, and that is God himself. And you have a future. You have a future of eternal fellowship with God. And that promise is made sure by the presence of his Spirit in you now. Peace. That's why Paul says, be anxious for nothing. When you are reconciled with God, you don't have to be anxious. When difficulties come your way, you go to God and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Jesus says, are you lacking peace? Come to me. Are you heavy laden? Are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to me, and I will give you rest, peace. And then it brings horizontal peace, peace between one another. What does James say? James says, why do wars come about among you? Why is there strivings? It's because you desire and don't have. You covet and can't obtain. So you murder and you strive. And that's where strivings and wars come from, whether it's wars and battles within family or among friends or among nations. That's where it comes from. You want power, but you can't get it. Or you want money, and you can't obtain what you want. Or you want respect from people, and the people you think should give you respect don't give it to you. And so you lash out in anger. But Jesus came to reconcile sinners and to give them his spirit. And when Jesus, his spirit is in you, then you have peace. Because you're no longer striving to get that which you can't have. Because you've been given everything that you need. So the fruit of that spirit that Jesus gives is joy and peace. So the angel announces to the shepherds the gospel, the good news that Jesus, the Savior, Lord, Messiah, was born. And the angels, his heavenly hosts, appears around the shepherds, praising God and glorying him, saying, glory to God in the highest, and then announcing to the shepherds the meaning of this gospel, peace. Jesus has come to bring peace. Well, how do the shepherds respond? When the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds, first they say to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So first, notice that the shepherds believe the words that are spoken to them. They believe these things are true. Notice that the angel didn't say, now I want you to go over to the Bethlehem and find this baby, and you can decide for yourselves if what we're saying is true. The shepherds don't need to be told to go. They believe what the angels have said, and they say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this, which has been announced to us. So they believe, and they're filled with wonder, the wonder that the angels were so moved by, which inspired this heavenly song, this heavenly Gloria, is moving the shepherds now. And so they go, we're told, Luke says, with haste. They run. They run to Bethlehem to find this child. But what does this lead to? Well, this wonder, first, leads to response of witness. So we in verse 17, and when they saw it, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. The word of the Lord had come to these lowly shepherds. And so they run and they go to Bethlehem. They find the stable and they make known these words. The word of God came to them and they begin to speak it. Mary and Joseph, let us tell you what has been told us. The angel said that this day was born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And they said, this is the sign that he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes and he'll be lying in this feeding trough in a stable. And they said, that one is the Christ, the promised Christ, and he is the Lord. Now, Joseph and Mary were not told exactly whether they're alone. But I suspect there are probably others around them. And that the shepherds are making these things known. This is what the angels said. So they're witnessing to this gospel. The shepherds are the first human evangelists. And that's what you do when you hear the word of God and you see the truth and the glory of the gospel. You tell others about it. You can't help it. These shepherds couldn't help it. So how about you this Christmas season, as you see the wonder and you hear the word of God? Are you a witness to it like the shepherds? When you're in the store and you're in line, you're shopping, and you see, you know, people behind you or the cash register anxious and stressed out because of all the shopping frenzy, you have a gospel here to give them, a gospel of peace. And notice that the gospel is not that people are sinners and God is a holy judge. That is the truth. That is the reality. But the gospel is that God came into the world to reconcile sinners to him, to bring peace. So tell that sales clerk, Jesus was born into the world to bring peace so that you could be reconciled to God. That is something worth being joyful about. That is something to be joyful about. So the shepherds respond in their wonder with witness. But secondly, the shepherds respond in worship. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So as they leave Bethlehem, going back to their work, they're praising God and giving him worship and giving him glory. And this had been the response of the angels. This is God's purpose. Why does God work his salvation as he does? You know, history is the story of God's redemption. And what's God's purpose in it all? At the end of the day, his purpose is worship, that you would give God glory through your worship. And that worship, of course, is the first and greatest command. You shall worship the Lord your God alone. That is what Jesus says is the greatest command. It's the first and greatest command. That's what you were made to do. But it's not merely a duty. When you see the glory of what God has done, right, the God who made all things, becoming a human being, lowering himself to be placed as an infant in a messy, smelly feeding box so that he could grow up and go to the cross to be mocked, to shed his blood so that you could be reconciled to him and come into eternal fellowship with God and have peace. That is amazing. And when you see the glory of that, you can't help but give him worship, like the angels and like the shepherds. So do you see the glory this morning? Do you see the glory of God's salvation? You know, we're in a season which is a very busy season. There's lots of things going on. And there's so much which can cloud our vision and keep us from seeing the glory of that salvation. So how do you see that glory, and so that you become filled with wonder? Well, the first thing you do is you ponder on these things. That's what Mary did in verse 19 when she heard what the shepherds said to the angels. Luke says that she treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. So first you listen to the word. You read it. When you come to gather with God's people, you hear God's word. You listen to it. And then you ponder it. You meditate on it. So this week, as the world around is celebrating the holiday of Christmas and the church celebrating the birth of Christ, ponder these things. Meditate on what God did for his people. And as you ponder those things, you will begin to be filled with wonder, which will issue forth in true and genuine worship. I don't know what family traditions you might have on Christmas Day, but include worship with that. Grab some hymnals, or if you don't have hymnals, print some lyrics of some Christmas carols and sing and worship God and give him glory by singing his praises and worshiping Christ. And that's what we're gathered here to do this morning. We're here to worship the King, Jesus, who is Savior, come to save you from everything that you need to be saved from, who is Christ. He is the King, and his kingdom will have no end. And he is Lord. He is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you this morning because of what he has done in Christ Jesus, giving his blood on the cross to reconcile you. That's what we're going to celebrate in just a few minutes. Be filled with wonder. Go and witness this great news and worship him for it. Let's pray. Lord, our God, we thank you and we praise you that you fulfilled your glorious word. We thank you that the Savior, the Lord, Messiah has indeed come, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would fill our hearts with wonder at that truth, even this morning and this week. And we pray that we would be filled with his Spirit and that we would, by your strength, be witnesses and worshipers to the glory of his name. And it's through him that we pray. Amen.